8 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Monday morning, and alhamdulillah, in this beautiful and warm summer's day, we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the lovely sunny weather, the warm weather, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyat, for protection, and for safeguarding of our lives, our health, our wealth, and our deen, most importantly. Yes, you are listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and inshallah al-Aziz, in our program today, being Monday, we look at a lesson on an African country. We are working in alphabetical order, so we've been through quite a long list already, and perhaps it would be a good opportunity to recap on the countries that we have visited already. So to say, we have spoken about Algeria, Angola, Benin, we've spoken about Botswana, Burkina Faso, we have spoken about Burundi, Cameroon, Canary Islands, Cape Verde, Central African Republic, and Ceuta, or Ceuta, or Cibita, as it's known. Then we've spoken about Chad, Comoros, Cote d'Ivoire, or Ivory Coast, Democratic Republic of Congo, Djibouti, Egypt, and today we go on to Equatorial Guinea. And that is the country that we're going to be discussing today. Our discussion in Egypt was very interesting, and we've learned a lot, and mankind has benefited greatly from Egypt. And now we go on to a discussion on Equatorial Guinea. Many have heard the name of this country, and like many countries in Africa, we know the names. We are living in Africa, we know the names of the countries, but if we are asked to point them out on a blank map, we perhaps would not know where that country actually is. So Equatorial Guinea, whereabout is it exactly? It's firstly, in Spanish it's known as Guinea Equatorial, in French is Guinea Equatorial, Portuguese is Guinea Equatorial, so it's a similar name. It's officially known as the Republic of Equatorial Guinea. It's a country located in Central Africa with an area of around 28,000 square kilometers. It's formerly the colony of Spanish Guinea. Its post-independence name evokes its location near both the equator and the Gulf of Guinea, so it's Equatorial Guinea. It's the only sovereign African state in which Spanish is an official language. As of 2012, the country has a population of 1.6 million people. So that's a very, very small population. In fact, smaller than the population of Gauteng, perhaps even smaller than the population of Soweto. That is the whole country of Equatorial Guinea. And Equatorial Guinea has two parts, an insular and a mainland region. The insular region consists of the islands of Bioko, formerly known as Fernando Po, in the Gulf of Guinea, and Annobon, a small volcanic island south of the equator. Bioko Island is the northernmost part of Equatorial Guinea and is the site of the country's capital, Malabo. The island nation of Sao Tome and Principe is located between Bioko and Annobon. The mainland region, Rio Muni, is bordered by Cameroon, which is on the north, and Gabon on the south and east. It is the location of Bata, Equatorial Guinea's largest city, and Oyala, the country's planned future capital. Rio Muni region also includes several small offshore islands such as Corisco, Alo Bay Grande, and Alo Bay Chico. So those are the few places, and a bit of a geographical description of Equatorial Guinea. Now, looking at the history of this country, in the Rio Muni region, there is believed to have been a widespread pygmy population, of whom only isolated pockets remain in the north. Bantu migrations between 17th and 19th centuries brought the coastal tribes and later the Fang. Portuguese explorer Fernão de Poo, seeking a path to India, is credited. He's been credited as being the first European to discover the island of Bioko in 1472. He called it Formosa, meaning beautiful. but it quickly took on the name of its European discoverer. The islands of Fernando Po and Annobon were colonized by Portugal in 1474. Then in 1778, the island adjacent islets, the small little islands, and commercial rights to the mainland between the Niger River and Ogo River were ceded to the Spanish Empire in exchange for territory in the American continent. From 1827 to 1843, the United Kingdom established a base on the island to combat the slave trade, which was then moved to Sierra Leone upon agreement with Spain in 1843. In 1844, on restoration of Spanish sovereignty, it became known as the Territorios Españoles del Golfo de Guinea Equatorial. The mainland portion, Rio Muni, became a protectorate in 1885 and a colony in 1900. Between 1926 and 1959, all three regions were united as the colony of Spanish Guinea. Equatorial Guinea gained independence from Franco's Spain in October 1968. Since then, it has been ruled by two men, Francisco Macias Nguema, the first president, was a brutal dictator, despised intellectuals, he killed a large number of the ethnic Bubi minority, he banned fishing, and awarded himself a huge number of grandiose titles, including President for Life. He was overthrown by Teodoro Obiang Nguema Mbasogo in 1979, and later captured and executed by shooting. Obiang's rule has seen less violence, but his regime is still brutally repressive. Political power is centralized in a small mainland clan, and most senior members of the government are related. The discovery of oil reserves offshore in 1996 has brought considerable wealth to the country, giving it one of the highest GDP per capita in Africa. Yet, much of the money goes into the hands of a thuggish and corrupt government, with majority of the people remaining very, very poor. So that is the situation politically and historically of the country. Equatorial Guinea has two distinctive and very pronounced seasons. You have the rainy and dry season, that's April to October, are the wettest months of the year, and December to March are the driest. Then the major ethnic groups are the Fang of the mainland and the Bubi of the Bioko Island. If you look at Equatorial Guinea in terms of the in terms of the ecology, then you are looking at it spans several ecoregions. You have the Atlantic equatorial coastal forests, and then you have the Cross Sanaga Bioko coastal forests, and then you have the Mount Cameroon and Bioko Mountain or Montan forests. So there's different forest regions that you see there in Equatorial Guinea. And in terms of the economy, like we said, pre-independence, Equatorial Guinea exported cocoa, coffee and timber, mostly to Spain, but also to Germany and the UK. On the 1st of January 1985, the country became the first non-Francophone African member of the Franc Zone, adopting the CFA as its currency. The national currency, the Ecuele, was previously linked to the Spanish peseta. Then there was large oil reserves discovered in 1996, and its subsequent exploitation have contributed to a dramatic increase in government revenue. As of 2004, Equatorial Guinea is the third largest oil producer in sub-Saharan Africa. Its oil production has risen to 360,000 barrels per day, up from 220,000 only 2 years earlier. Forestry, farming and fishing are also major components of GDP. Subsistence farming predominates. And then we have the demographics of the country. The majority of the people are of Bantu region. The largest ethnic group, the Fang, is indigenous to the mainland. And then you have people of different nations there as well. Growing number of foreigners from Cameroon, Nigeria, Gabon. And then you have Asians and black Africans from other countries as workers on cocoa and coffee plantations. Other black Africans came from Liberia, Angola and Mozambique. Most of the Asian population is Chinese, with small numbers of Indians there as well. The main language is Spanish. Religions, Christianity is 93% of the population, and then minority are Protestants, 2% follow Islam, and the remaining 5% practice animism, Baha'i faith, and other beliefs. Then they had their education has been quite neglected, with few children receiving any type of education, and that is basically the Equatorial Guinea. Interesting country, very, very wealthy country, probably very, very hot as well, but it's not a war region, and perhaps it's a place that could be visited, and there's no warning against visiting the country. Well, it's 19 minutes after 11. You're listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We'll be back after this break. Stay tuned.
ANSA Fabric and Bridal Center has a winning combination of luxurious and sophisticated fabrics. Let us transport you in style with our luxurious fabrics. Our haberdashery department has the latest accessories. Visit our bridal department for the evening wear fabrics from the masters of design. Unique and individually styled beaded pure silks and tulles from the most talented creators of fashion. 5 Pelican Avenue, Linasia, 011-852-4910. ANSA, usually unusual fabrics.
Contact Linasia Livestock and Poultry for all sadaqa and hakika requirements. We offer clean, hygienic abattoir style and refrigeration facilities. Sheep, goats and cows are available at competitive market-related prices, direct to the public. We slaughter, slice and distribute on your behalf. Kom praat met ons vir 'n goeie deal. Ons kan iets vir jou uitwerk. Linasia Livestock and Poultry. Livestock is our business. We are SANA approved. Telephone 011-857-177.
Mom, I'm hungry.
The food is not done yet, my love. But I have a killer fragrant rice in the meantime.
Wow, Mom, this rice is so soft, fluffy, and smells lovely.
Yes, my child. This is the purest fragrant rice that you'll ever find.
For more info on Akila Fragrant Rice, call Flavor Foods on 011-493-2397 or visit www.akila.co.za. That's A-K-I-L-A. We also stock a wide range of rice, beans and sugar at our warehouse in City Deep, Johannesburg.
Have you visited Radio Islam's website at www.radioislam.co.za? Enlighten and benefit yourself by listening to audio podcasts of various on-air highlights. Listen or download discussions from categories such as current affairs, Salah awareness, family focus, loving our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, hijab focus, as well as many other pertinent topics that affect a Muslim. www.radioislam.co.za. Taking Muslims to deeper dimensions and greater heights in the forum of international media. This is Radio Islam International.
What assures a captivating radio advert? What guarantees a catchy radio promo? Well, besides a good script, it certainly requires a dynamic voice. That's what we at Radio Islam are looking for. If you feel that you have that dynamic and clear voice that we require for quality sound adverts and promos,
then contact the advertising department
at Radio Islam on 011-854-7022 or email voice at radioislamlive.com. Call now and earn easy extra cash.
حدثيني عن بلادي حدثيني أسمعيني خبرا لا تكتميني حدثيني عن بلادي حدثيني أسمعيني خبرا لا تكتميني حدثيني كيف دات في حماها حدثيني كيف عاش في رباها ناوليني السيف أمي ناوليني السيف أمي ناوليني كيف أكرت بنومي أورقادي وبلاد قد غدت رهن الأعادي دابت النيران واجتاحت فؤادي
الزاني هاتفٌ صوب بلادي ناوليني السيف أمي ناوليني ناوليني السيف أمي ناوليني حدثيني 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 عن بلادي حدثيني أسمعيني 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 خبرا لا تكتميني حدثيني كيف جات في حماها حدثيني كيف عاش في رماها ناوليني السيف أمي ناوليني ناوليني السيف أمي ناوليني
يا خالق الإنسان.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. Live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Hamisa.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is time for parenting segment, and today we're going to take a look at an interesting angle on parenting, sports parenting. We just hosted a soccer tournament here in Ermelo, and the most popular divisions in a soccer tournament are the junior divisions. The younger the kids, the more support they get. Now you have different aspects of it, and you have different parts of it. And being a sports parent, one is not an easy task, and secondly, it requires a great amount of effort and a great amount of dedication. But the other part of it is to be a moderate, controlled, and successful youth sports parent. And you need to be able to escape the parent trap. You need to be able to escape the parent trap. That is very, very important, to be able to control yourself and to be able to make sure that you don't fall into the trap of being an overly influential and aggressive type of sports parent. Now, being a parent of a young sportsman, whether it's a soccer player, cricket player, athlete, whatever it is, it's no easy task. First, you have to help your child learn how to handle the ups and downs of competition. There's winning, there's losing, there's different things. But the most challenging are the demands on your own coping skills. You need to learn how to manage your emotions. Those emotions are repeatedly tested under very, very trying conditions. That is the important part of sports parenting. Many of you listening would have children participating in different types of sports or different types of activities. And as a parent, you experience a rush of positive emotions when your child triumphs, when your child does well, then you have a rush of positive emotions. And then when the child loses, then you have a deflating sense of emptiness. Now this emotional process can almost become addicting. You need to understand that. Instead of focusing on your child's goals, it's possible that you can get caught up in seeking more experience where you can feel that rush of positive emotions. And then you start focusing on your own fantasies for your child. Fantasies of success, fantasies of fame and recognition. Now, a common problem that would occur, a challenge, is that your love for your child may lead you to behave in ways that ultimately hurt the child's development or hurt their relationship with you. That is a possibility. The paradox of being a parent is that the good reasons we have for pushing our children to succeed, those very same good reasons can lead to behaviors that teach our children to be selfish and grasping instead. And the parents' greatest strength, their unwavering emotional support of the child and their willingness to make sacrifices for their child's athletic advancement, is thus also their greatest weakness. So your greatest strength is possibly your greatest weakness as well. So we spoke about, firstly we spoke about getting caught in the parent trap, getting caught in the trap of that overly aggressive parent. Parents get caught up in this trap all the time. Now how would you know that you're getting caught up in this trap? Firstly, over-identification. You naturally identify with your child, but over-identification may lead you to ignoring your child's feelings and focusing instead on your own. You identify with your child, you know what your child is feeling, your child wants to win, but now you over-identify with your child. You become too much involved, and now you start ignoring what your child is feeling about the game, and you focus again on your own feelings, that you just want that win no matter what. Secondly, selfish dreaming. It's normal as a parent to dream of your child's future. But sometimes a parent may get so attached to their own dreams of the child's future that they lose sight actually of what the child himself or herself wants. The third thing is confusing investment with sacrifice. As a parent, you love your children, but you love them so much that you are willing to make tremendous sacrifices on their behalf. You spend money to support the child's sport and you take the time to be there for the child, but parents may come to see these sacrifices as investments. So you feel that you are putting money into the child and you expect that child to perform. And then you think that this is even worse, that you expect that the investment will pay off and yield tangible benefits, meaning that you feel that the child is going to become a good sportsman, get sponsorships and be able to return some or more than that money to you. That's also confusing investment with sacrifice. And then the fourth sign of the parent trap is competing with other parents. You want your child to excel, but it's very easy to get caught up in competing with other parents. You push your child to succeed, and then you hope that the other children will fail, and you give your child that would then give your child a chance to shine. So you compete with other parents. You want your child to do well, but you get up to that point where you start wishing failure on other children. So that is also a sign of the parent trap. So those are the four things that you need to think about and review within yourself. Over-identification, that you start wanting, you focus on your feelings instead of your child's feelings. Selfish dreaming, that you lose sight of what the child wants and you only want your dreams in your child to become true. You're confusing investment with sacrifice. Whatever money you are putting in for the child's sporting development, you want it to return and you want it to get benefit out of it. And then the fourth thing is to compete with other parents, that you start wishing failure on other children just so that your own child can succeed. So those are the 4 points of the parent trap in sports and being a sports parent. We're going to take a look, inshallah Aziz, at the positive versus the dark side. What's the difference and how can we overcome that? That is the important part. How can we overcome that, inshallah Aziz? We're going to take a little break now. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Bera's Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Bera's Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100. Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Person Road, Devlin.
من ربع القدس ناداكم المسجد أم قد اغتالني المجرم الأود
من ربع القدس ناداكم المسجد أم قد اغتالني المجرم الأود
من ربع القدس ناداكم المسجد أم قد اغتالني المجرم الأود
من ربع القدس ناداكم المسجد أم قد اغتالني المجرم الأود
بح صوت الهدى فيه يستنجد
بح صوت الهدى فيه يستنجد بح صوت الهدى فيه يستنجد
من ربع قد مشى فوقها أحمد وعليها مضى الكهل والأمرد من ربا قد مشى فوقها أحمد وعليها مضى الكهل والأمرد من يمود طغى من بها عربد
من يمود طغى من بها عربد من يمود طغى من بها عربد
يا حماة الهدى قد تمادى العدو واستحاثت مطاياكم الأنجد يا حماة الهدى قد تمادى العدو واستحاثت مطاياكم الأنجد فانهضوا فلقد حق أن تفسدوا
فانهضوا فلقد حق أن تفسدوا فانهضوا فلقد حق أن تفسدوا
جرحنا يا بني قومنا أوحد وإلى الله رب الورى المقصد جرحنا يا بني قومنا أوحد وإلى الله رب الورى المقصد لا تمل السرى قد دنا الموعد
لا تمل السرى قد دنا الموعد
لا تمل السرى قد دنا الموعد
من ربع القدس ناداكم المسجد أن قد اغتالني المجرم الأوعد
من ربع القدس ناداكم المسجد أم قد اغتالني المجرم الأوعد من ربع القدس ناداكم المسجد أم قد اغتالني المجرم الأوعد
من ربع القدس ناداكم المسجد أم قد اغتالني المجرم الأوعد
بح صوت الهدى فيه يستنجد
بح صوت الهدى
It's 24 minutes to 12, and you're listening to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We are discussing parenting, and in parenting, particularly youth sports parenting. How to be a successful youth sports parent. We spoke about the parent trap, the four things you need to do to identify whether you are falling into that parent trap of being an overly aggressive parent, but... Now we're looking at the positive versus the dark side. When you watch parents who do a great job of supporting their child's development in sports, and you watch those who fall into the trap of pushing the child beyond limits, you understand the difference between them is whether they can put their own desires aside and focus on what their child actually wants. We're looking at some specific examples. Firstly, the aspect of giving encouragement to the child. Now, the positive side, you shout out praises for good play or enjoy or excitement when a goal is scored or the child gets a good move. It's natural response for any parent. Now, the vast majority of children feel loved and support. You look at the dark side of it. The vast majority feel loved and supported when the parents are there at matches, etc. But in some families, having the mom or dad on the sideline actually causes tension, the point of negatively impacting on the child's athletic performance. It's possible as well. Look at the positive side of giving encouragement. If you're a parent of a young athlete or young sports player, there's enormous commitment in terms of time and energy. The majority of parents are strong supporters and encouragers of their children's athletic participation. And the influence of parents on good athletes is well documented. If you look at a survey of baseball players who made it to professional minor leagues, most reported that when they were young, their parents provided money for equipment, attended games, money for team fees and clinic costs, gave them an allowance during high school, went with them to watch major games, you know, professional sides, etc., advised them to pursue professional careers and regularly practice with them. On the other side, the dark side, parents who act in ways that upset the young athlete or that upset the coaches or officials can create tension, not only for the family, but also for the children on the field and often for all the parents that are watching. And unfortunately, we had a similar incident as well yesterday. And even when a young athlete feels encouraged and supported by their own parents, the behavior of other parents can ruin the experience for them. You know, one 19-year-old sportsman said, "It wasn't even my own parents, it was other parents screaming at the coach and the referee that made most games a misery." So if you are an overly aggressive parent, becoming over-involved, you're actually causing disturbance for the rest of the players, not only for your child only. Then the next part of it is constructive criticism, giving constructive criticism. The parents are in a very good position to offer constructive criticism to their young athletes. Many parents provide early coaching for their child. It's very common for a parent to teach a child new skills if the parent also played the game. If you're a soccer player, you can pass on the technique and skills to your child. And skill building of this kind can take place in an informal way, free of the structure of an organized sports program. And it's more challenging when a parent becomes a coach for a son or daughter's sports team. You know, if you as a parent are the coach, it's even more of a challenge. You should remember that while you can easily make the distinction between being a parent and a coach, your child doesn't easily distinguish between criticism from the coach, dad, criticism from the parent, dad. So that's a challenge there. But sometimes the dark side of it is becoming a pushy parent. Problems arise when a parent's natural tendency to be supportive and to offer advice clashes with the coaching process in youth sports. The greater the skill level of the young athlete, the more likely it is that the coach will perceive coaching by parents as intrusive. And your child can be put into a no-win situation if you are shouting out advice from the stands, contrary to what they have learned from the coach. Who must the child listen to, the coach or the parent? And sometimes if you offer critical advice, your child will take it negatively, especially as they get older. And if you as a parent offer constant criticism of your child's sports performance, it affects their performance, it frustrates their performance as well. And you may see yourself as being a great resource for your child, and you're helping them to learn the game, but your child doesn't see you as that. The child sees you as a parent who doesn't care about him, but cares about how well he plays. And the danger is that your child will see himself as an athlete and evaluate his entire self-worth on the basis of how well he plays. And this is not what we want. We don't want a child to see themselves only as an athlete. They must be recognized as a human being. They must be loved because of the way they play. And if you show less love because they have played badly or made a mistake, then the child is going to start evaluating themselves on the basis of sport and their on-field performance, and it's going to affect their overall self-esteem, which is a great, great problem. So those are the few aspects there. And then the last part of it is being a role model versus becoming abusive. The bright side of it is being a role model. The dark side of it is becoming abusive. And this is an important part, an important aspect. We will discuss it, inshallah al-Aziz, after this short break that we take. Stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam.
رح نبقى الحراس أرضك فلسطين قسما بالرب العالي أفديك بروحي وبمالي قسما بالرب العالي أفديك بروحي وبمالي طالع رغم الليالي فجرك يا فلسطين طالع رغم الليالي فجرك يا فلسطين هي 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 جرمالك يا مصر الهادي أروحنا بتهون يا غرى عزبين بلادي يا جنة هالكون
مهما عمر فيك ظالم لن نسي بلاد المعالم
مهما عمر فيك ظالم لن نسي بلاد المعالم
طالع رغم الليل القاتل فجرك يا فلسطين
طالع رغم الليل القاتل فجرك يا فلسطين يا قدس الأقداس أقسمنا اليمين رح نبقى الحراس أرضك فلسطين قسما بالرب العالي أفديك بروحي وبمالي قسما بالرب العالي أفديك بروحي وبمالي طالع رغم الليالي فجرك يا فلسطين طالع رغم الليالي فجرك يا فلسطين هي 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 هي
محفور ريح الحرية من ريحة خلى الصمت يطور
يا أقصى يبقى تاريخك في قلبي محفور ريح الحرية من ريحة خلى الصمت يطور
والحزن الساكن بحجارك والفجر الساكن أنوارك
والحزن الساكن بحجارك والفجر الساكن أنوارك
ينده ويلبو أحرارك يعيد فلسطين
ينده ويلبو أحرارك يعيد فلسطين يا قدس الأقداس أقسمنا اليمين رح نبقى الحراس أرضك فلسطين قسما بالرب العالي أفديك بروحي وبمالي قسما بالرب العالي أفديك بروحي وبمالي طالع رغم الليالي فجرك يا فلسطين طالع رغم الليالي فجرك يا فلسطين هي 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 هي
دمي أكتب على أعتابك ملحمة فلسطين
دمي أكتب على أعتابك ملحمة فلسطين يا قدس الأقدار أقسمنا اليمين رح نبقى الحراس أرضك فلسطين يا قدس الأقدار أقسمنا اليمين رح نبقى الحراس أرضك فلسطين هي 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 الأقصى ليس وحيدا الأقصى ليس وحيدا والنصر ليس بعيدا والنصر ليس بعيدا لبيك
لبيك لبيك. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. We are discussing the positive versus the dark side of being an involved sports parent. The last aspect, the first two aspects we discussed was giving encouragement is the positive side. Dark side is becoming overly involved. And then another aspect was providing constructive criticism over the dark side of becoming a pushy parent. And now the last aspect is bright side or the good side, positive side is being a role model. And the dark side is becoming abusive. So, of being a role model, children learn the skill of self-control by watching you display good self-control skills. As you control yourself, the child will learn how to control themselves. Organized youth sports programs frequently offer parents good chances to model good behavior for children and effective ways to deal with conflict as well. So when you have good sports programs, then it teaches parents as well good skills. In our communities, there are very few, perhaps none, of these types of sports programs, and it may be something interesting to look into. Handling a dispute over a clash in game schedules, or deciding on who plays in what position, making a tough call in a close game, such situations abound in youth sports, and to be able to handle that dispute, you need to be a role model. The way you behave with officials, with referees, with tournament officials, etc., is what the child is going to learn of how to deal with disputes. That child is watching you. Believe me, the child is watching you. A parent or coach who remains calm and thoughtful in such situations provides the young athletes with an appropriate role model for handling emotional situations. On the one side, as a parent, if you are able to remain calm, to handle matters respectfully, and if you remain thoughtful in that type of tense situation, you are teaching that young athlete to also remain calm, to remain respectful, to remain thoughtful, and you are providing them with an appropriate role model for handling that emotional situation. And also remember, children learn far more from what they observe of you, of your adult behavior, than they do from what you tell them to do on how to behave. Your children are going to learn from you. The way you behave is how they are going to behave. Not that what you tell them to do, but rather what you actually do. That is being a good role model. Let us look at the dark side of it. Your child can become intimidated by your presence at games if they hear you shouting at officials. That is the truth. That if you are going to shout at match officials, at referees, at others, your child is actually going to become intimidated by your presence. They wouldn't want you to be there. And actions speak louder than words. If you tell your child to display self-control, you tell your child respect authority, but your child actually sees you losing your temper, yelling at an official, and whatever you have been teaching your child is going to be undermined, is going to be lost. And the sort of fan behavior that may be tolerated at professional sports contests, such as yelling at players, criticizing an official, is not appropriate at the youth sports contest. More youth sports mimic the intensity and competitiveness of professional contests, parents are more and more likely to act like fans and start screaming and swearing at the ref, and ref time, and ref, ref, this is this wrong, their decision is wrong. We need to respect that. And acting as a fan at your child's athletic competition can have serious repercussions. One is acting as a supporter, second is acting as a fan. One young child, a quiet, thoughtful 14-year-old girl, said about her father, she said, it's all a bunch of crap what he says. He has no respect for authority, but he expects me to toe the line. When I say something about it, he yells at me. So look at that. Your child is actually watching you. Your child is actually taking cues from the way that you behave. And your child is actually looking and taking more of a lesson from the way you behave than actually what you tell them. Now, what is the way out? That is the big question. We've painted the bright side, the dark side. What is the way out? To begin with, you can't avoid the emotional pressure of a parent of a young athlete. Your child moves up the competitive ladder, the pressure is going to increase. You're going to be tempted to step over the line between encouragement, constructive criticism, and being a role model or becoming overly involved, becoming pushy and emotional, and worse yet, becoming a physically abusive parent. So there's a fine line. Parents can learn to change their behavior, and they don't have to give in to the emotional pressure they feel, but choose instead to act in a mature and responsible manner to develop the skills to deal with the pressure and learn to pass those skills on to their child. Over the course of more than a decade in youth sports, over research, some parents have broken the mold and managed to escape the clutches of youth sports parent trap. Now what did they do? They talk with their child. What motivates parents to have their child participate in sports? What motivates child to participate? Sometimes very different. So you need to talk to your child. Sit down and see what they want. Look at yourself. Get feedback about your behavior from others. Was I overly involved? Am I over-identifying with my child? Am I listening to my child? Am I pushy? Am I driving others crazy? You need to ask others how they feel about it. You cheer for your child, but you don't become self-centered in the cheering. Take time to compliment. Thank officials. Thank people for the tournament that they have put together, for the match they have put together. And talk to parents of other teams as well. And talk to parents of the opposition teams. Speak to them. Discuss with them. They are not enemies. They are there for the same purpose. You are competing for points or goals, whatever. But you are there at the end of the day for the same purpose. And resist the urge to critique your child's performance. Don't say you should have done that, and you should have done that, and you should have behaved like this, and you should have played like that. I would have done it better. I needed to show you, and things like that. And inshallah, you can become a successful youth sports parent. And it's important for you to learn these skills. Otherwise, you are going to be damaging your child not only emotionally, but you're going to damage your child from playing sports for the rest of their lives. This is very, very important. And incidents where parents actually start fighting because of youth sports are really, really damaging and traumatic, not only for other parents, but for other children and for your own children as well. So let that not ever happen. It's 4 minutes to 12. Shukran Jazilan for listening to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam. Shukran to my studio operator this morning, Osama Basuni. And inshallah Aziz, we'll be back tomorrow with Al Mashriq at 11 o'clock. Once again, we'll be speaking to Malana Yahya Bam, inshallah Aziz. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International from Junaid Jasad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.